In interview media servisa, I welcome European Commissioner for Environment, Oceans and Fisheries Virginijus Sinkevičius, who is at International Donors Conference on Humanitarian Demining in Ukraine, which is currently in Zagreb. Welcome and thank you for having this conversation with me.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
I heard your speech. Can you tell me what are the key messages, the most important messages that you want to send for Croatian public also regarding to this conference?
For Croatian public, first of all, I really want to thank Prime Minister Plenković, but also Croatian society for supporting Ukraine. I think it is important that EU, but also its member states, we speak with one voice. Voice of support to Ukraine, Ukrainian society. And I think it is extremely important that each member state find the ways they best can support Ukraine. And from Croatian side, it's one is, of course, demining efforts, because unfortunately, Croatia still have scarves of the past war. And your demining efforts will be finalized in 2026. So basically 30 years after the war with Ukraine. I think it might take even longer, but of course we have to put all the efforts to ensure that we protect the civilians. And so here today, I think it is important that Croatia shows leadership in bringing the donors together, looking at the possible solution, looking at the cooperation between the public and private sector, how to best explore the R&D in sector S of the mining, and of course ensuring that we use all the possible efforts to demine Ukraine as soon as possible.
You stress also in your speech education about mine risk.
Yes.
So that's also important.
Absolutely, because, you know, I'm also coming from Eastern Europe, and we have tradition, you know. In summer, people go to forest to pick mushrooms maybe more in autumn, but berries, then mushroom seasons, and etc. You know, for farmers to work their fields, you know. Now we have the situation where basically all that is mined. I visited myself very early when the regions, the suburbs of Kyiv, was taken back by Ukrainians. Russians left full territories of mine in forests and so on. So I think it's extremely important for those communities, for people to recognize, to know how to behave, who to call, and etc. So that, you know, their lives wouldn't be put at risk.
You had a bilateral meeting with our prime minister. This was the main topic, or you discussed something else?
It was the main topic that we have talked. We talked about, of course, a bit of national matters because it's also my country visit. But we didn't go too deep because we agreed with the prime minister that I will talk with the responsible ministers on national matters.
Mm-hmm. In relation to your portfolio, especially the European Green Deal, I want to ask you, is it the goal of climate neutrality by 2050 too ambitious, or is realistic to achieve?
I think it's realistic to achieve, and it's not too ambitious. It's within the scientific recommendation, but also within our feasibility calculations, what is realistic to achieve. Of course, from today's perspective, even so, you know, when you think 2050, just
around the corner,
exactly, around the corner, just a bit more than 20 years in front of us. So, you know, in some cases, we still need technologies that still needs to be developed, that needs still needs to be deployed. But I think we can do a lot, you know, in transport sector, in energy sector. We can definitely do much more in agriculture, and all that can, at the end of the day, mean our strategic independence. We saw with Russia's illegal, unjustified attack on Ukraine how our dependencies on Russia, on their fossil fuels was dangerous. They, I think, miscalculated a lot, hoping that, you know, Europe is not going to react, because basically we based some countries, especially some member states, based their competitive advantage purely on Russian fossil fuels, and we cannot allow for that to happen. Thankfully, sun, wind is not owned by anyone, and we can definitely employ it as much as we can.
Are you informed about Croatian position in green transition? Do you maybe have some kind of advice for us what we need to improve, maybe speed up?
I think, you know, Croatia plays a very important role, especially in the face of your prime minister's leadership. And if you look, you know, Croatia's emissions, they are not that high comparing to other countries.
Okay, we are small countries.
Exactly. So. But the biggest issue, of course, is the transport sector, where Croatia needs a significant improvement. And, of course, some of the heating of the household, which I think, you know, also would benefit significantly people.
And the last topic, you are promoting plastic-free oceans and proper implementation of legislation on plastics. We heard all about legislation on microplastics. Yeah. So can you tell me, for citizens, what is the most important in this area? We heard that it's going to impact the cosmetic industry, but that's not the only thing.
Yeah. First of all, you know, I've been to Croatia many times and I do love Croatian Adriatic coast. So, you know, I always feel bad if you see that there is a pollution that is choking that coast. So what we need to ensure that we significantly, first of all, cut on useless plastic packaging. Mm-hmm. So small shampoo bottles, sauces, packages, and etc. Secondly, we promote much more reuse. Where we can, so that is, you know, no more packaging is produced. Thirdly, we need to ensure recycling and deposit system in countries that still don't have it. That can help significantly, you know. All that can result in having a secondary raw materials market, so that there is less raw materials are used. Thirdly, when we talk about the microplastic, now Commission is tackling intentionally added microplastics in certain product groups. We need to ensure that there is no intentionally added microplastics, because to deal with them, it's very, very difficult. We cannot deal with the plastic solid products. With the with microplastics, it's even more difficult.
And the European elections are in June. And can you tell me, for the end, what will be your focus?
For the European elections, I think we need to continue with the European Green Deal. We need to ensure that this is our growth strategy. We have many projects in the pipeline, so we need to finalize them. And I think then the second phase will be putting a lot of focus on the competitiveness, ensuring that we use this leadership in clean tech, which we have established with the European Green Deal. We need to put big focus on skills, ensuring that we have people that are equipped with knowledge, with skills to contribute. And I think the Green Deal can create enormous opportunities in many sectors of the clean tech, and Europe is the best place to ensure that we use those opportunities to the best. So I truly hope that will focus, the debates will focus a lot on that. But inevitably, we will also have a big geopolitical debates, because we see that we live in the times where they are not easy.
We can say dangerous times.
Absolutely, with continuing Russia's war in Ukraine, with the Hamas attack on Israel. And, you know, we see what's going on in Africa. So, I mean, that all is going to have effect on Europe as well, whether in immigration policies, but also pressures on socio-economic policies. And we need to find a way to help our citizens, our businesses through these uneasy, difficult times.
I hope that you will find a way. Thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you.